Well, hello, friends. On today's show, I'm going to make some obvious statements. One, barbecue is back. Two, a dog eats sausage. Three, there's a new camp for girls. And four, mainstream media is trying to do something together? Yeah, that's coming up. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share? Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
The sign across the street is just way too aggressive. Can you see it from here, Monica?
Yeah. Make today ridiculously awesome.
Yeah, like, wow.
There's a sign like that downtown,
that's
too.
That's a huge ass,
that I like to pose in front of. And oftentimes when I would lead tour guests past it, I say, y'all, make today ridiculously awesome.
I'm like, why would you put that on me? I'm never going to be able to do that. I mean, because even if you just make it awesome,
yeah,
you go, yeah, I still failed.
Was prom night bad for you?
Yes.
Wow.
You know, Doug, that I ended up having my date bail on me the week before.
Right.
Come on. I went to Taco Bueno for my...
No bueno.
And ended up getting to dance with all the women I wanted to dance with. So it ended up being okay for me.
There you go.
I was like, all right.
It's much like your reunion.
That's right.
The other week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Or did I talk about it already?
We already talked about it.
All right, never mind. It's not important.
We're tired of that.
See?
You weren't even there.
I know.
Doug.
You weren't at the reunion, and
no.
You weren't at the show where we talked about the reunion.
Yeah, it would be weird.
Still
if
too
Doug,
much.
It's
still too much.
It would be weird if Doug came to my high school reunion. They were like,
"Hi guys, remember me?" No.
You see one guy give another guy $10. He's like, "I told you."
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to Two Beers In, a podcast where we talk about my hetero life partner, Doug.
Hi.
And we enjoy... No. Huh? If you're going to be my hetero life partner...
Hey.
Hey. How are you doing?
Just, hey. So.
We got BJ and the bear here.
That's right.
Yes.
I am the bear.
Yes.
Doug, I don't know
Wait
about
a second.
BJ.
What am I giving? Hold on. I don't like how this went.
I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I am enjoying a Austin Beer Works small time. A delicious beer.
With confidence.
And we are here at the back lot on Maiden Road near Guadalupe, near the Amy's Ice Cream, where
yes.
They tell you...
To make today ridiculously awesome.
Yes, and there's my other host.
Hey, it's me, Monica. I'm enjoying a Fireman's 4 blonde beer.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. I thought there was going to be more.
Nope.
But hey, look over there. It's my buddy Doug, my hetero life partner.
I'm Doug.
No, that's not how you sound.
And I've got a Yellow Rose Lone Pint.
But you had something before.
I did. I had a Nevermore or something like that.
All right.
And apparently...
Are you going to drink it?
I didn't like
Nevermore.
Nevermore.
Apparently.
Meanwhile is what it was.
Meanwhile.
Yeah.
Here at the back lot, we've got four stories we'd like to tell you, along with a nice little tune.
A nice little tune on the end.
Oh, and by the way, I'm trying to remember what the guy sitting in the next booth told me last week. It's like, hey, buddy, you don't have to push.
Oh,
we could hear you.
That's How close right. was this booth that you were sitting next to?
Not like right next.
Like the next one over.
And I was like, okay, so I won't be pushing anymore.
But what's funny is I did listen to our recording, and I was going, I wasn't really pushing that hard.
Okay.
So, anyway, we've got four great stories for you this week. Monica.
Yes.
Why don't you take the first one?
Okay.
Why don't I take the first one? It doesn't have any names, weird names in it. That's why I was thinking you
okay.
could take it.
Well, I was going to take the second.
Okay.
Well, then I'll but we don't.
Fine. Why isn't this open?
We should have arm wrestled over this earlier.
My story is fine.
We still can.
I know. It's like, oh, there we go. Hey, I got mine open.
Okay.
All right. I'm first. All
go
right.
ahead.
Austin barbecue trailer reopens after December theft, mm-hmm. thanks to community support. The Lots of Barbecue owner, spelled L-O-T-Z, hosted a community cookout at the Austin Deaf Club. You heard that right.
I'm sorry, what?
How dare you?
As a thank you, he said if it wasn't for his community, he would be out of business. The day after Christmas last year, two men stole Lots of Barbecue owner Roy Lotz's food trailer from the Ghost Line Kitchen's parking lot on ConSouth Drive. The trailer was later recovered at a home in Elgin. Lotz worked hard for a decade to save enough money to open his food truck. It was his dream. After the trailer was recovered, it had been stripped of its black vinyl wrap, reading Lots of Barbecue, and had no license plate. There was also damage to the inside, including the refrigerator, warmers, and oven. A few days before the food truck was stolen, someone also stole two generators from Lots.
Jerks.
He must have proven himself an easy mark
yeah,
or something like that.
I was
going
to say, that Ghost Line Kitchen place must be easy to get into.
There was also damage to the inside, including the refrigerator, warmers, and oven. Now, with the help of the community, he has a new trailer.
Yay.
Lots hosted a community cookout at the Austin Deaf Club as a thank you. I should point out that deaf is spelled D-E-A-F, not D-E-F.
It's
some
great
sort of
club.
Hip-hop club yep. or something like that.
Yep.
Lott said, yes, I want to give back because when it was stolen, I was down. I thought it was over. It was done. Nope. They made it possible for me to feel hopeful again. And look what happened now. Now I'm back. I'm so ready and I'm still on my feet, even bigger than I was before. Lots cooked and handed out hundreds of free meals on Saturday. So,
just what we need, another barbecue truck.
We just don't have enough barbecue in this area.
Yes. I hope the line's not long.
Yeah, right.
Someone got into a little bit of trouble on Facebook earlier this week because they saw the documentary that one of the local stations made about the feuding families in Lockhart.
Oh, yes, the blacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they said, I saw that black documentary, and I don't even want to eat barbecue anymore now. And it just took a really unfortunate
turn.
That's
hilarious.
Yeah.
Poor person. I hope it took exactly the right turn. That's fine.
They had a lot of splaining to do. Let's just put it that way.
I saw someone asking about a good noodle house, and a person responded, "Well, your mom came to my noodle house," and no one, they were all like, "Yeah, yeah, that's the right response."
Well, I know on Washington they have a pho place called Pho King.
Yeah, Pho King. Yeah. Sure. Next story, stranded dog saved from rising tide after rescuers attach sausage to drone. Really, I think that's the whole story. We're done.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next story?
Yeah. A sausage saves the day. In a dramatic rescue operation that defied conventional methods, Millie, a Jack Russell Whippet, cross.
That.
Just getting that visual.
Right.
Was saved from treacherous mud flats in Havant, Hampshire. thanks to the ingenious use of a drone and a dangling sausage.
Millie, you know what I mean.
Mill, if you know what I mean. And there's going to be a lot of if you know what I mean. Millie had disappeared after slipping her lead and was later spotted stranding on the mud flats. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean. Dangerously close to being engulfed by the rising tide. Despite the best efforts of the police, firefighters, and Coast Guards, I sent a truck, a boat, and a helicopter. They were unable to reach her. The situation looked perilous as the tide... It would be horrible if, like... And she drowned.
And...
Yeah, right.
As the tide continued to rise, that's when rescuers had to think outside the box. A drone pilot suggested attaching food to one of the unmanned aerial vehicles that had been tracking Millie. Chris Taylor, chair of the Denmead Drone Search and Rescue Team, admitted it was a crazy... I love that it's in quotation marks. Admitted it was... A crazy idea. Yes. However, after checking Civil Aviation Authority regulations, what a rules follower.
Okay. It is allowed.
And the maximum takeoff weight, the MOTO, MTO of their drones, they determined they could attach a single sausage. How brave of them. A local resident even supplied and cooked the sausages. Really, for a dog, you took the time.
Yes.
So this dog's on the mud flat. Hold on.
Wait, no, wait. Well, you're not going to give it to him raw, are you?
No, at least let me warm it up.
Civilized.
It's only browned on one side. Give me a sec.
So they cooked the sausages and attached it to the drone with a string. And to the immense relief and joy of the dog, no, of everyone involved, Millie took the bait. If we hadn't gotten her away from that area, the tide would have come in and she would have been at risk of drowning. Yes, that's my point. My point is, you did all of that extra work.
Yes.
How long? We check regulations.
Yes.
Did you build the drone?
We had to cook the sausage.
We had to learn how to fly the drone.
Meanwhile, 17 people drowned because they were busy with the dog.
That's right. Taylor confirmed they could certainly consider using sausages again in a similar future situations.
For people.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Although, Bite it.
Okay, so although the sausage successfully lured Millie from the mud flats, the timid rescue dog, but it's not a timid rescue dog. It's the timid dog being rescued.
Yes.
Darted off again. However, she was finally reunited with her grateful owner, Emma, after being spotted inland from the marsh. Millie ran towards Emma's care manager. Wait, is that right? Oh, no, Father Tony.
Father.
And joyfully jumped into his arms. Emma, a care manager, expressed her overwhelming relief, stating, "It's just absolutely fantastic to have her home. It was ridiculously awesome to have her home." You know, Millie likes food, and she'll eat anything given to her. Hence the not need to heat up the sausages.
Yes.
And she has a particular fondness for meat, making the dangling sausage the perfect lure.
If you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean. Now safely home, Millie is back to her favorite activities, swimming and drowning.
drowning.
Sleeping and eating. There we go. Dogs.
Interestingly, I came across another story just today, which also took place like on mud flats or in a marsh.
Okay.
Overseas, I want to say, you know, Great Britain,
okay.
Someplace like that.
All right.
Where I think a mother and a daughter were out horseback riding, and the horse
found
became entrenched in the mud flats.
Quicksand.
And the mother stayed behind while the daughter went to go get help and kept holding the horse's head
up.
Oh,
no. This is a...
And talking gently. Oh, I know.
This is a never-ending story. Atreyu.
No.
Is this an Atreyu story?
It is not.
Okay.
It is not. Because help arrived in time. They even brought, like, a special tractor to pull the horse up and out. And she was exhausted, but...
But did not give in to the sadness.
Did not. No.
Yes.
No.
Horse burgers for everyone.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, I mean, the mother stayed there and cradled the horse's neck and lifted up its head so we could, you know, not panic and continue to breathe.
Sure.
And, yeah.
Tired.
Yeah,
but
because
healthy.
Apparently the tide would have absolutely drowned that horse.
Man.
So. We'll cover that next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, they got the whole story now. We don't need to.
Yeah, that's true.
So basically, animals have no survival instinct.
No, they suck.
Really?
Man.
Thank God humans are all smart.
Yeah, we're all the best. We're the best.
We dangle sausages. And cradle horses' necks.
This thing has changed. There's, you know, the setup to this thing has changed. Because now all of a sudden I can't open up.
It's all right. I got this.
All right.
All right.
Turns out it was
Alabama will be the site of a new training camp for the next generation of female astronauts, funded and named in honor of one of the profession's great pioneers. Okay, maybe next exactly, because the Nichelle Nichols Space Camp honors someone who pioneered an idea rather than a profession,
yes.
An idea that color barriers did not exist in outer space. Passing away in 2022, African-American actress Nichelle Nichols was the first black woman to star in a primetime American TV show when she took the role of Lieutenant Uhura on Star Trek.
Yep.
As a bridge officer, it wasn't just that she had plenty of screen time in the show, but she was one of the highest-ranking characters according to the show's plotline.
Yep.
As Whoopi Goldberg later put it, "I just saw a black woman on television, and she ain't no maid."
Yeah.
Indeed, there was nothing typical nor token about Nichols' character. Uhura was a polyglot, translator, and communications expert high up in the chain of command, and her portrayal resulted in a generation of African-American women watching someone who looked like them explore space.
Absolutely.
To that end, she became something of a space influencer, with few impacts likely to be greater than this new weekend-long experience for young women aged 14 to 18 at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville, Alabama.
That's where EK's from.
Your backyard, yes.
Yes.
EK's backyard. Organized by the Nichelle Nichols Foundation, the space camp will be organized around two structures, the first being the internationally recognized excellence of the Space and Rocket Center program, which mirrors astronaut training done by NASA, and the second being an additional structure of activities to mirror the finest concepts contained within the Star Trek canon. These include courseworks on the concept of infinite diversity in infinite combinations, the bedrock of philosophy from the show's Vulcan Aliens, mm-hmm. and a series of mission scenarios similar to those undertaken aboard the Enterprise. Does that include what was it, the maneuver that everybody got tested on?
The Kobayashi Maru.
Kobayashi Maru. Yeah. I was like, the Riker maneuver?
And kissing blue chicks.
Yeah.
Specifically, a first contact scenario, which was the responsibility of Uhura in the show. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess so. The camp is a fitting legacy for the recently deceased actress, who was the direct inspiration for Sally Ride, the first female American astronaut,
yep.
along with so many others who had encountered Nichols during her STEM advocacy work with NASA. All of that might not have happened if it weren't for the chance conversation with none other than Dr. Martin Kenji.
There we go. I was wondering if they were going to get to that.
Nichols, according to multiple sources, planned to leave Star Trek in 67 after its first season, but she changed her mind after talking to Dr. King, who explained it was his favorite show along with his three children, and that her character signified a future of greater racial harmony,
yep.
and cooperation. The casting was totally open, Dr. King pointed out. If she didn't play Uhura, they didn't need another black woman. They could replace her with anyone, even an alien.
Yeah.
Nichols took the mantle of barrier breaker on board the Enterprise, much to creator-director Gene Roddenberry had hoped. And in the 1968 episode Plato's Stepchildren, Uhura and Captain Kirk kiss.
Yes.
Which became one of the first scripted interracial kiss scenes in American cinematography.
Yep.
But there's more. The original intent was to film a scene that ended in a kiss,
yes,
and one which ended without, and then allowed the network to decide which one to air.
Yep.
Nichols and William Shatner agreed, it has since been learned, to flub every non-kiss take,
yep,
and thereby force the network's hand to include the kiss. The space camp costs $2,000 to attend, but financial assistance and scholarships are available for eligible participants.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay! I want to do space camp.
I don't. If you have to pee, going outside would be a bad thing.
Well, I don't want to do camp in space.
Oh, okay, okay.
I want to do space camp.
Space camp.
Space camp. And I realize I'm wearing my Rocket City of my Rocket City Trash Panda shirts.
Did you hear about the new John Oliver named team?
What is the name of it?
It's the Erie Moon Mammoths.
Yes.
And apparently something like 30 minor league teams vied to get the honor of being named randomly by John Oliver.
John Oliver, yes.
And they named it the Erie Moon Mammoths.
Nice.
And, of course, the Trash Pandas came up in that article.
Yeah, because it's an awesome name.
Because they're like, and now there's a second team with a great name.
Yeah. I mean, there's also the Savannah Bananas.
Yes.
They're pretty good, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Our last story, a global media giants unite to dispel the myth of climate indifference. Doug's like, all right. Whatever. So the 89% project aims to bridge the gap between strong public desire for bold climate policies and political inaction. Many politicians mistakenly believe that widespread support for environmental action is lacking, but research consistently shows otherwise. In an effort to make this public backing undeniable, some of the world's most respected newsrooms have united in a global climate reporting drive. This collaborative effort seeks to amplify the voices of the silent majority, who care deeply about the environment. Thank you, President Nixon. While also reassuring them that they are far from alone in their concerns. Spearheaded by Covering Climate Now, or CCN, a global initiative.
CCN.
No, you got it wrong. No,
I said it right.
The 89% project directly challenges the misconception that most people are indifferent to climate change. Yes, we just said that. Research revealing that a striking 89% of the people worldwide advocate for stronger government action on climate change. Yet many individuals hesitate to express these views, often under the false impression that their opinions are not widely shared. For the world's news media, this narrative not only is new, most reporters had no idea that public support for climate action is so high. It also reframes the climate conversation away from one of division and retreat towards one of possibility and common purpose. I do like Heaton's idea that that it's less about advocacy and more about engineering now.
Yeah, at a certain point, our engineering will catch up with our needs.
Yeah, yeah. Academics point to pluralistic ignorance, the mistaken belief that one's own views are not broadly held as a key reason for public silence on climate issues. So let me just skip down.
I can marry a cow?
They keep kind of replacing, saying the same thing. So the 89, this is, okay.
AI, yeah. Rest of story.
Prominent news outlets, including The Guardian, Times Magazine, Reuters, and Al Jazeera, are backing the initiative, showcasing the strong journalistic belief in this narrative. Hertz God, who covers the environment for The Nation, emphasized the fact that there is a massive global majority in favor of climate action struck us from a journalistic standpoint as a great news story. Since its launch day on Earth Day, of course, in April 20th, 420, cool. Stories published under
wow,
the 1600
years ago.
So they have a banner now, have reached a combined audience of hundreds of millions of people and the project will continue through COP 30 in November and beyond. I don't know what that... It says COP 30. Hertzgard encourages individuals to share these stories widely, especially with political leaders, as most government officials also don't know a strong majority favors climate action. Doug, thoughts?
I would say that if anybody knows that there's a majority that supports it, it would be the leaders who look at polls. They may not be funded by those people.
Or they're looking at the wrong polls.
No. I'm sure they know what people want.
Okay.
But can they afford to give it if all their money's coming from the other side?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't think the leaders are absent information.
No, I don't. I think they're all caught up.
Yeah.
I think choices are being made. Mm-hmm. Not that this is a show about politics or anything.
I'm just saying in general, that's what your job as a politician is, to get information and do something.
Yeah. Get out there, call out, try to make some changes.
Yeah, and you sift through a lot of data before you make your position. You may or may not observe the data, but at least you
sift
through it.
Or somebody sifts through the data and then tells you what to do.
And then tells you what to think.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think, Monica?
What do you think, Brett?
I think that our listeners should go to patreon.com/2beersin, where they can not only subscribe and get an extra show every week, but also get some extra views and reach out to us and tell us what you think and communicate, because that's what we want you to do.
I spoke with several people this past weekend at Brian Brushwood's compound.
Yes.
Who, when I told them about our show, they were like, oh, the news is just all so bad. And I was like, you know what you need? You need like 3-4 stories of good news a week.
Yeah.
I know just the podcast with that.
It's We're Not Wrong. No, it's no, right. That's no, not what it is.
It's Wait, Don't Tell Me. No,
come on.
It's Pendulette Sunday School. No.
What?
No.
Why?
What is happening?
And those people that were there from the weekend who are listening now,
yes,
welcome. And if also you just want to throw some money our way, you can also go through PayPal or Venmo, 2beersin@weightlesspod.com, which also happens to be our email address. Love to hear from you. May use your stuff on the show. So, yay.
And remember, pennies are going away, so if you want to throw rolled pennies at us, you better hurry.
Yep.
Doug, you missed last week. I played some old bebop jazz as the closing song that you would have been like, why? And I was like, because people haven't heard this. And again, it's good music that just...
As long as it's not Mongolian yak yodels, I'm tired of those.
Well, funny you should bring that up.
Ah, no!
Because next... No, it's not. if you listen to the podcast Song Exploder, many times they break apart songs that people have heard and try to figure them out. And the song that was featured this week is the one that I wanted. I was like, you know what? I want to play that song because it's got such a great little turn in it. And it is rap, Monica. I'm playing rap on the show.
Okay. Well,
yes.
At least it's not, you know, Lee Greenwood's I'm Proud to Be an American.
It's funny you should bring that up because it's built on a stem.
No, it's not.
But
there's no building on that.
It wasn't
stem.
Mongolian yak yodeling, Doug. But it was a British Ghanaian rapper.
Okay,
named
sure.
Little Sims.
All right.
Who's been around for a while. She's
Little Sims, not Lil Sims.
No, Little Sims.
Oh wow. That's a
British.
Breakthrough. Yes.
Yeah, she's she's British.
British.
She debuted in 2010. She's got such albums called A Curious Tale of Trials and Persons and Stillness of Wonderland. This has got, what's really cool about it is all the stems, all the things that were built off the song were recorded first. So it wasn't like they pulled them from something else. This was all recorded and they created stems off of it. And it's all with acoustic, It's not all acoustic instruments, but like if you hear strings, those are real strings that are playing.
Good.
So, yeah, the song's called Free, and I'd like for y'all to listen to it all the way to the end. I don't want y'all to tune out because it has a great turn at the end.
Okay.
So
it's
before,
free. It's free music.
It is free. And of course, there's always the link to the song in our show notes that you can go to. So I'm going to get up, and before I push this button, what are you doing?
I'm trying to make your tablet come alive again because I didn't want you to.
It doesn't need to come alive.
Okay.
Because we're at the end now. All I have to do is push the button.
Technology.
That's right.
Wow.
So
you're making today ridiculously awesome, Brett.
I know. I'm still just in the awesome. It's not truly ridiculous yet.
I think you're just in the ridiculous.
That's right.
Okay.
Damn it. It's either one or the other.
You were so close.
I cannot do both. I have been your host, Brett Weaver. I have been drinking a Austin Beer Works. Exactly. Little.
Wow, hey, that guy is making today ridiculous.
A beer.
It now
ridiculously
just, it now
awesome.
Just became ridiculously
yes,
awesome.
It has.
I've been drinking a beer from Austin Beer Works.
I'm your co-host, Monica. I've been enjoying a Fireman's Four.
And there's Doug over there.
Hey.
Yep, and I had a Yellow Rose Lone Pint.
Yay. So thank you all for listening. Listen to this, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Forgiving yourself. I think that love is offering your immediate help. I think that love is everything that we need in this world. I think the key is being honest and being yourself. I think love is understanding that people can change and loving them anyway through every stage. I read all about love, then I gave it to Jade. Love is sharing knowledge, there's so much to gain. Love is every time I put pen to the page. If I don't love what I'm doing, then I'm hardly engaged, yeah. God, you love me though I am flawed. I know I'm not an innocent child, but I am yours. And if you're with me, you are safe. I know my body isn't immortal, but I am brave. I think you know it's real love when it's sincere. I'ma show up, I ain't scared, eradicate fear, yeah.
Let the love set us free.
Said that we will never ever crash, fold under pressure. Love your target.
Trusting yourself. I think that fear is keeping true information withheld. I think fear can be exposed in abundance of wealth, and it creeps in when you're not loving yourself. Fear can be dressed in a form of protection. Fear can be the culprit of slowing progression. It can be impulsive and be an obsession. I think we fear all the answers, so we don't ask the questions, yeah. I think that shit is a lethal weapon. I think we fear being naked from the fear of rejection. If beauty is in the eye of the beholder, then why are we obsessed with seeking perfection? Fear will probably hear this and feel exposed. Fear works best when love isn't close. But love will never judge you because of your pain. Look in the mirror and say, I'll love you unconditionally every day. I've always been. Why they always wanna hate when the love is? Hear me